Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the programme tonight, across the country, doctors fall sick as healthcare takes a hit because of Omicron. We'll be looking at that with doctors from leading hospitals across the country. How much is healthcare presently being affected? Also on the show, the potential economic consequences of Omicron. Will these be severe? First, a look at how hospitals in Mumbai could be staring at a serious crisis very soon.
Dr. Praveen Dhage works at Sion Hospital with COVID patients. He himself is now COVID positive. From his isolation facility, he speaks to us, warning of a looming crisis.
Those who are positive and admitted in hospital, they are repeating their swab after 5 to 7 days, and after the once the swab comes negative, the resident doctor joining back their duties and providing the service to the patient and fighting the this COVID situation.
Two big government hospitals, Sion and KEM Hospital, have seen a big surge. 157 medical workers in KEM testing positive in the past 4 days, while 80 were infected in Sion in the last 7 days. While at the government-run St. George's Hospital, over 40 doctors have been infected, including Dr. Bhushan Vankhede, the chief resident medical officer, who tested negative just a few days back.
5 days back, we got some symptoms, so tested, so got positive. And most frequently we are in contact with the patients. You all know that suddenly the surge of patients has been increasing and mostly gets the symptoms and also they are getting positive. And the admission rate is also increasing. So in getting in contact with the patients, all are getting positive.
A member of Maharashtra's COVID task force says it could get worse.
This is probably going to get even a little bit worse than what the numbers are appearing to be right now. How long it's going to continue? The peak should be coming by the end of January, by all mathematical calculations and by the trends that have happened in other countries.
Private hospitals are diverting doctors from other wings into COVID care.
Even though some of our colleagues have been tested positive, we are able to manage and run the scenario. The other thing which is probably working, because the elective non-COVID cases are comparatively down, so the resources are getting diverted for COVID facility.
Hospital authorities warn they're being able to manage the situation currently because those resident doctors who tested positive just days ago are back at work after testing negative. But if hospitalizations and the recovery period continues to increase and more doctors are down with COVID, then a crisis is around the corner. In Mumbai, with Ashok Mahadik, Saurabh Gupta, NDTV.
Well, joining us now, Dr. Anjan Trika. He's the chairman of the COVID Clinical Management Group at the Trauma Center at AIIMS. We're also joined by Dr. Shaban Pandya, clinical immunologist and rheumatologist and member of the COVID Immunization Task Force in Gujarat. Thank you both very much for joining us. Dr. Trika, let me come to you first. How badly has AIIMS been hit by doctors falling unwell?
Well, we have about 80-odd doctors of various seniority who have tested positive. Some are in home isolation and some students who can't really be into isolation, they are in our hospital. They are all stable. But at the same time, our caregivers are taking care of the patients who are inside the hospital. So far, things are well within control and there is nothing alarming. And we hope this thing continues, but we are prepared for things going worse.
Dr. Trika, what about other frontline staff, nurses, sanitation workers, cooks? You know, hospital can't just function with doctors. How well are they, sir?
Yeah, you are right. Hospital cannot function with only doctors. All healthcare workers are needed. So far, we don't have a large number of nurses who are infected. A few of them are, and we are getting them into the hospital. Our workforce of paramedics is still touchwood intact, and they are taking care of everything. It's just that the number of doctors are about 80 or 79 at the present time. The silver lining is that, again, they are all on room air. They are doing very well. They are stable. They have fever, and it takes about 2 days to 3 days for the fever to come down. But they are into the hospital, and we are taking it, keeping a track of them.
That's good to know, and that's reassuring. AIIMS, the largest hospital in the country. Dr. Pandya, give us an idea of how hospitals in Gujarat, the biggest ones that you are dealing with, for example, those in Gandhinagar, etc., are having an impact of doctors falling unwell.
Thank you. In Gujarat, it has just actually started, and over the last 2-3 days, I've heard informally of at least 20 colleagues of mine who've been infected over the last 2 days itself. Yesterday was perhaps one of the starting points where you actually saw an elevation, sudden elevation. If you look at the number of cases itself, the figures show you that it's about Gujarat is clocking about 11,000. Mm-hmm. So there's no doubt that this virus is going to, I think, go through almost everyone in every major hospital everywhere. And since the healthcare workers, nurses, paramedical staff, doctors are going to be in touch with these patients, incidentally, some of these patients are probably going to have a high viral load. That's why they're going to get admitted to hospitals. So I think we have to be ready for that. The good thing, as the senior doctor from AIIMS said, is that probably they're not going to be very bad cases, as we've seen Omicron. But I think we have to remember that the small fraction of a large number is still a very large number. And looking at the population of India, looking at the number of doctors, healthcare workers and nurses, we still have to brace up for the worst and be prepared for the worst while we hope for the best.
Dr. Trika, you know, I was just going through some of the data yesterday on the Delhi government's Corona app. Your hospital and your trauma center had a large number of patients on ventilator beds. Is that right?
Okay. No, I think you got the number wrong. As per today at this time, let's say 9 o'clock, we have about 9 patients on ventilator and about 7 who require various levels of oxygen, flows of oxygen. And I must put it across that all these 9 patients on ventilator are there because of other comorbid conditions. To give you a breakup, 2 of them have terminal malignancy, 2 of them have chronic liver disease, 2 of them are of chronic obstructive airway disease, who were on ventilator and they tested positive.
Yep.
So far, again I say touch wood, things are under control. But what is normally happens is that whenever a surge occurs, it first affects the young people, and when these young people go to their houses, come in contact with older people or people with comorbidities, then the problem starts. So a small request for all, follow the COVID behaviors and let not the people or
Dr.
older
Trika,
people.
You know, the reason I ask you this is, and it's so important to hear what you're saying, because, you know, people falling unwell, a point of contact for a large majority is AIIMS. You know, AIIMS means help. It's the way it has been in our country. This is the Delhi government's COVID app. I just switched it on right now in this program. AIIMS Trauma Center, Delhi, last updated 4:30 p.m. January 6th. That's today. Total beds available 21, total beds there 21, vacant 1. So that's wrong, sir. And therefore,
okay,
this is a cause of concern.
I think that may not have been updated.
Yeah.
Take my word for
you
it.
You know, I take your word for it.
Take my word for it, and I'll tell
I
you
just
the facts
hope that,
and the numbers.
Through this, and if you can have that,
yes,
the Delhi government
can
change
that. Corrected.
That is so very important.
But you must listen, have a word from me that we are passing through a rapid changeover of the trauma center to COVID center. So there may be a delay in updating data. But what I have told you are facts.
Right.
At 8:50. 9 patients on ventilator and another disease.
Great. Dr. Pandya, just give us an idea of, you know, if you start projecting upwards, which people are doing with Omicron and the spread across cities, how long will you be in a position across the major hospitals that you are looking at to have the doctor situation under control? When does it start becoming problematic in terms of basic healthcare?
Well, I think since we've had the worst part is probably over, in the sense that Delta was really bad in terms of deaths and in-hospital mortalities and admissions. So I think that has been a sort of a rehearsal to us, and I don't think it should take, although this mutant is very infective, and I wouldn't be surprised if the numbers, you know, what we should focus on is actually the mortalities and in hospitalizations rather than the numbers, because the numbers are always going to be high in Omicron. But I think it's over a matter of few days, we should brace up to the situation. I think Gujarat definitely as a state, we have hospitalizations, we're already working on it. And I think we should be able to control the situation. The deaths are not going to be probably that many as you saw in Delta.
All right. Look, I'd like to thank both of you very much for joining us. It's good to know that things are so far under control. The days ahead, absolutely critical as well. We're joined now by Dr. Mohan Joshi. He's the Dean of Sion Hospital in Mumbai, one of the hospitals which has been fairly badly affected in terms of doctors falling unwell. In fact, I spoke to him some time back. Joining us now, Dr. Mohan Joshi is the Dean of Sion Hospital in Mumbai. Thanks, Dr. Joshi, very much for being with us. How many doctors?
Thank you so much.
How many doctors are unwell in your hospital presently?
In my hospital, about 56 doctors are corona positive, out of which only 6 or 7 are symptomatic. But since they are positive, we have isolated them on one floor of our hostel building. Is it?
And how many doctors do you have in the hospital in total?
No. That way the senior doctors, junior doctors, the junior doctors are about 500, and out of which 10% doctors are positive. You can see that.
All right. Okay. And when did you see a large uptick in doctors falling unwell? In the last one or two days or before?
Last 3-4 days only.
Right.
Before that there were none. And last 3-4 days only, about now 56 doctors are corona positive in my hospital. These are mainly the resident doctors, and some of the senior doctors have fallen ill because they are traveling and they are having various other contacts. So this is what is the scenario.
How has the functions of these doctors, the fact that they're missing, how has this affected your hospital?
Right now we are a little short of doctors because we have 33% less doctors because the new batch of resident doctors has not come. However, what we have done is that the number of doctors which have not joined, that is 33% from the NEET counseling, we have opened up those posts. And now new doctors are joining for a span of 1 or 2 months till the counseling is completed. So we are trying to tie down the 33% gap which is already existing or which is there. That is one thing. Number two, that the other doctors would overwork and the senior doctors which otherwise would not come into picture, we are trying to involve them and roping them into the patient care. So that is how we are trying to bridge the gap. And the third thing which we are doing is that what is not absolutely essential, say the elective surgery part or something which is just a casual part of the elective part of the hospital, we are trying to curtail the work there because at times the anesthesiologists, a lot of anesthesiologists are positive. So they are not having adequate amount of manpower to look after the patients and give anesthesia to the patients. So that is how some small percentage of surgery we are trying to reduce. But overall, we do not want the patient care to get collapsed. We are trying to do our best so that the emergency care, the COVID care, everything is looked after properly.
Dr. Joshi, what about frontline workers, by which I mean nurses, sanitary staff, kitchen staff?
Not many of them, maybe only few. Maybe few, less than 5 or 6 nurses are positive.
I see.
Otherwise, it is not so. The nurses and the frontline workers are not as many positive as the resident doctors. Resident doctor is the big group which is involved with the patient care directly, and therefore they suffer. And sometimes, being young and, they sometimes, do not look after themselves and lack wearing of the mask or otherwise personal protective equipments. So therefore, they become extremely susceptible.
And you must be looking forward, doctor, to getting your jab on the 10th of this month.
Yes,
are you satisfied with the jab that you're going to get, the third dose of the same vaccine you'd received, or would you have preferred getting another vaccine?
No, I don't think that it's a very careful thought on behalf of health ministry, on behalf of state government, and on behalf of the central government, that it is a very careful thought, and ICMR guiding them, etc. So there is no question that those people who are vaccinated, they are having milder type of COVID, so they may become COVID positive. So the additional jab, or what is called as the booster dose, will definitely boost the immunity significantly.
And doctor, just one final question to you. On day one itself, in other words, the 10th of January, would you target vaccinating all eligible doctors and frontline workers in your hospital?
100%. So I'll be first.
Right. So you will be stocked with Covaxin and Covishield, depending on what is needed. By the end of the day.
And as far as last 2 months are concerned, we are not having any kind of vaccine shortage, and we are getting good amount of supply of vaccine.
So that's super. At least you will be protected after 14 days. Unfortunately, it takes a little bit of time. Yes. Well, doctor, you perform such an important role, particularly when there's a crisis. Please look after yourself, and thank you for speaking
to us.
Thank
you so much. Thank you very much.
Questions coming in on Ko. Weber writes in. He says the United Kingdom and the USA are reeling under the pressure of Omicron cases. Do we need stricter lockdowns with respect to election rallies? Deepak Sharma says, if the doctors and medical workers fall sick because of the new variant of COVID-19, this leads to pressures on our medical facilities because of deficiency of proper medical staff, which in turn affects treatment delays and inconvenience to patients suffering from other comorbidities and diseases. Sachin Mondol says the situation is getting worse, but we have to stay strong. Is there any update about booster dose to anything to defeat this third wave? So that booster dose will be out for frontline workers on the 10th, but it'll be the same dose of the two previous, it'll be the same vaccine which they've got the two previous doses off, but for the larger population, no announcement thus far. We're going to move on now to our next big focus this evening. The prospect of Omicron having an economic impact. Before I introduce my guests and go across to them, let's just take a look at what the Reserve Bank of India has come out with in its financial stability report. These are a couple of important quotes from that report. They say that Omicron potentially haunts near-term prospects. Omicron has cast a shadow on global economic prospects. Global recovery is clouded by the emergence of Omicron. The medium, small and medium enterprises and micro enterprises and the micro finance segment are reflecting signs of stress, while corporate sectors have gained strength. A couple of other points emerging from other reports. Banks' gross non-performing assets may rise to 9.5% in a severe stress scenario by September 22. Budgeted fiscal deficit of 6.8% of the GDP may come under strain. So these could be a couple of concerns. Nilesh Shah joins me, as does Madan Sabnavis. Thank you both very much for being with us. Mr. Shah, in your mind, what is the biggest single concern as far as Omicron and the economy is concerned? Because we aren't at, by any means, the peak of what we're going to see in India. It's going to be here for at least a month plus more. What could the impact be?
So the real question is, will Omicron result into lockdown like first wave? Or will it result into restricted lockdown like second wave? Or will it not result into any lockdown? In all the three scenarios, the impact on economy will be completely different. And RBI has quite nicely mentioned that there could be potential risk to growth in the near term if Omicron impacts economic activity through either full or partial lockdown.
Mr. Sabnavis, what about bank loans and that being a concern? We saw that in the first phase of Delta with the lockdown, people losing jobs, the inability to pay off loans. Is the concern of bank loans falling foul, is that something that we need to be worried about?
See, right now, I think there's no need to be worried about it, because if you go also by the RBI's financial stability report, they have already spoken of the different stress-like situations. And one thing is also certain, that I don't think the lockdowns are going to be as severe as they were the first time or even the second time. And the fact that we are more people are vaccinated also will mean that that people are going to be affected. There are going to be less fatality rates, hopefully, based on the trends which we are seeing. So given this kind of a scenario, I don't think they will it will lead to any large-scale unemployment, which in turn, or maybe even salary cuts, which was the case which we had in lockdown one. And that was actually what affected the ability of people to service their loans. And I'm quite sure if we reach that kind of a thing, hypothetically, we could still reach that kind of a situation. I think the RBI already used a moratorium fairly well, dexterously, in the first round to ensure that there weren't any repercussions on the banking sector. So I think we're definitely better equipped to face it, but we should not shy away from the fact that the higher growth which we thought was there to stay during Diwali time, when there was large-scale spending and we all said it was this pent-up demand story which was playing out, and all of us were very, very optimistic about the future, that is going to get pared down. And I think tomorrow when the CSO comes out with their GDP forecast, we're expecting it to be scaled down marginally, not really significantly. We at Bank of Baroda are looking at maybe 10 to 20 basis points loss in GDP in the fourth quarter. On the whole, we're looking at a number of around 9.3%. So it's going to be more on growth. I don't think the banking sector, on account of a lockdown, let's assume, Vishnu, what you said, it really lasts till, say, maybe March.
Mr. Subnumis, that's the what time did you say you expect the fall in growth to be? How many basis points?
10 to 20 basis points in the Q4, and overall, we're looking at 9.3%.
Okay.
So I think the impact will be more on growth, less on employment right now. And definitely, I don't think right now the banking sector needs to get jittery about what's happening in terms of the economic environment.
Mr. Shah, does it make good business sense for us to roll out a booster policy for all adults and those who are eligible, not just senior citizens, frontline workers? Does that make good economic sense for us?
I mean, this is in the domain of medical experts. We have seen in countries where booster dose was given, like Israel, where fourth vaccine is given, there also infection rates has been high. So this is the domain of medical experts. My limited knowledge tells me that whatever is needed to keep economic activities on, we need to do. There is one mayor in US which said that I was a cook, I was a worker, and hence I'm never going to impose a lockdown because people don't know what economic cost it imposes on the bottom of the pyramid. We should do whatever it takes to ensure that economy functions, because bottom of the pyramid suffers the most in that kind of situation.
Mr. Subnumis, we are already seeing partial lockdowns. Most of our major cities are seeing weekend lockdowns, for example. Do you believe the government needs to be proactive, and given the numbers that we are seeing come out or plan to come out, with some sort of mitigating measures to help those who may be out of jobs, labor, for example, because construction activity has taken a hit already as a result of Omicron?
It is true. I think the service sector, which was getting back on its feet, has been buffeted the third time. But again, going by the revealed preference of the government in terms of policy, I don't think we could be expecting anything in an aggressive manner to come about. In case it does lead to a lot of stress, definitely I'm sure the budget could be looked upon to provide, again, the relief to the very poor people. But beyond that, I do not expect any major schemes also to be announced by the government to alleviate the suffering, because I don't think it's going to be to the same extent of even lockdown too.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you both very much for joining us. Let's hope you're both right, and let's hope this goes away really fast. We do not want our economy to suffer. We certainly don't want a lockdown. I'd like to thank you both very much for joining us. Out of time on Left, Right and Center. We'll take a short break.